育成エースエースエースエースを狙え
Just suffer. There's drama and no, not even drama, there's melodrama. With like a big
slides his achievement takes suffering.
Like, this
suffering
is
red.
Nerae, which is aim for the ace. It's a tennis manga. And it's about this girl. And basically this tennis coach decides, well, she's really just an average girl, so I think I'll mold her into the best tennis champion the world has ever seen. And prove that it can be done with the most average random normal girl. So he puts her through this extreme pain training where she has to like get separated from everyone around her and beaten and run while her leg is breaking and lose games repeatedly and suffer and suffer and must suffer some more. And it's just a lot of suffering. But then she becomes an awesome tennis person and then the coach is like, and now I dead. And then she suffers some more because he's dead and he's like, this was part of my plan. So basically, yeah. And yeah, there are a lot of, you know, dreams about falling in love, and girls are always falling in love, and then it doesn't work out, and they fall in love with someone else, and they get back with the first guy, and then they go and, like, get in love with a girl, and then I don't know. I mean, it's just going all over the place. But also, you know, the world of music and the entertainment industry is big, and becoming a star. But if you want to become a star, just like becoming a tennis player, you have to suffer a lot. This poor girl, this is the forest of Cinderella. All the girls around her, of course, are jealous of her beautiful singing voice, like a bird. And so they're always plotting against her and trying to destroy her life. And it actually, this whole manga starts out with her giving a bomb. Someone hands her a package, a little present, to give to this famous singer. She unwittingly takes this bomb to the famous singer. I don't know why the singer wanted to explode her leg, or like explode her, whatever. And so they figure out there's a bomb. And so everyone's running out of the building. But then it explodes, and the singer loses her leg. And she gets so angry about the fact that this girl happened to, you know, no one suspects that it's her. She gets cleared eventually. But she's like, well, you were involved indirectly in me losing my leg, so now I will make sure you never have a musical career. So that's kind of the root of her suffering. But yeah, as you can see, it was very fancy. That man he's shining.
A very fancy man.
Yeah, and there were a lot of exotic places, such as even Egypt. She travels in this one, Oke no Monso. She travels through time.
Nice.
And she goes and she's chilling with the pharaohs. And the pharaoh, like, is in love with her and wants to marry with her. And I think this actually is still going on, this manga. But the pharaoh's sister, who's supposed to marry the pharaoh, because, you know, back in the day, that's what you did. She really loves her brother so much. So much. So she's trying to kill. I mean, you see her pulling out a knife over there. I don't know if you can see it. She's
holding a heart.
Yeah, there she is. She cut out somebody's heart. Crazy sacrifices and stuff. And this girl is supposed to be a tomboy, but she's always just kind of screaming and falling and, like, getting saved and, like, falling some more. And I don't know. I was a little disappointed. Isis, the sister, is pretty cool. I've read, like, one volume. Oh, yes. From Eroica with Love, which is actually being translated by Central Park Media. This one is hilarious. I didn't get any of the hilarity to show you, but... basically, it's kind of odd because the way the manga starts out, it starts out with this group of three kids who show up for the first. It's as if she was trying to write one story about this girl named Sugar Plum and like her two friends, and then she decided she didn't like those characters and throws them away halfway through like the first volume and just starts focusing on these two guys. That guy with the blonde crazy hair is Dorian Red Gloria. Yes. He's a thief who goes, his thief name is Eroica, and he's always stealing things that are beautiful. And he just loves beautiful things. So this the guy on the other side with the straight hair, he's a German secret agent or something in the army. So he's always pulling out his extremely well-drawn guns. and flying around in his extremely well-drawn planes or coming up in his extremely well-drawn tanks, which Eroica occasionally steals. And he's always trying to catch Eroica, but of course they end up working together sometimes, and there's a huge gay love story between them.
It's a little similar to one, but it's more character-driven than, like, plot of the movie.
Yeah. No, you should. You should. It's really hilarious. And, like, even if, like, boy love is, like, ew to you, like, it's not really, like, over the top. We'll get to the over the top stuff in a little bit. Yeah. Okay, keep going. Oh, yes. So you had stuff like Glass Mask, which is, like, epic dramas. It's about, you know, like, the normal girl who wants to become an actress, and of course she has to suffer, and she has to throw everything away in her life too. You know, she can't really have love, she can't really have friends, because if she's going to become the greatest actress of all time, then she has to just focus on that road. And this manga actually was used as an example in one of the children's newspapers I was reading once, from around this time, talking about how boys now are reading shoujo manga, and this was from the 1970s, so you know, people talk about the hybridization of manga and how boys started, you know, reading girls' stuff and watching girls' shoujo stuff in the 90s with Sailor Moon. But it's been going on way before that. This is actually one of my favorite manga, if not my favorite manga. Well, if you don't count the Showa 24 group, this is, like, my favorite manga. Really, really good, and it's still going on. And they actually made a no play of it, and the no play was horrible. I saw it. It was horrendous. I mean, no plays in and of themselves are pretty boring. But if they're done well, they're kind of interesting. But if they're done badly, then they're really, 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 really boring. So it was, I don't know if anyone knows much about no theater. Basically, people walk around very slowly on the stage for a long time. And then after about an hour or two of chanting and walking around very slowly, they do a slightly faster paced dance that involves a fan and stamping feet. I love the foot stamps. And then there's like a flute and a little drum. That's kind of it. Oh, the Showa 24 group. We'll get to them. Here we are. Thank you. Very appropriate. Showa 24 group. It's like Hagi Omoto and Takemiya Keiko and Yamagishi Byoko and a couple other people. They were like the cream of the crop. This is like the height of shoujo manga, is the work that these women produced, especially the stuff they produced in the 1970s. Because after that, their art styles kind of got a little weird. Well, Takemiya Keiko is still going strong. She's actually a professor of manga at Seika Daigaku. Hagiomoto's art style just got weird. I don't know. But this is Hagiomoto. And what these women did is they kind of upped the ante. Like, Rosa Versailles had some feminist stuff going on, and so did Aim for the Ace. But the work that these women were doing, it wasn't just history. And it wasn't just a presentation of another society. It actually had a lot of depth to it. And it had a lot of... They used metaphors in ways that you hadn't really seen done in manga. And the way that they crafted stories, also something that they would kind of lead you on this one path, thinking that, you know, you were going, that the story was heading in one direction. And then it would take a twist, and you'd be heading somewhere else. And then suddenly it'd take another twist. By the time you got to the end of the story, when you go back to the beginning, it was like the whole meaning of the story had actually changed. So that you couldn't just read it once, you had to read it several times before you could, like, really appreciate all that was going into it. And for want of time, I won't go it. I mean, I could kind of give a more detailed analysis, but... And they also, these girls really liked, at least Hagiomoto and Takemiya Keiko, they really liked little boys. And so do I. So, you know, I feel this kinship with them. And they're actually indirectly responsible for yaoi. So, you know, you can take that. I don't think they're happy about it, actually, because the stuff that they did had, like, meaning and depth, and the presentation of androgynous boys, it was meant as a feminist gesture. It was intended to recreate gender and allow women to reimagine how they could be, and, you know, to be able to create sex scenes that didn't focus on the female body. and didn't create the kind of anxiety that women might feel by having it always, always, always be about the female body. But then there were other things that they were exploring, like in Kaze Toki no Uta. She was really looking into the concept of Eros and, you know, the idea of a blank slate. If humanity is a blank slate and you raise a person in a certain way, that you can kind of create an ideal. Does anyone know the author Tanizaki Junichiro? Okay. He has a story that he wrote called Naomi, and it's about this creepy old man who basically raises this girl from when she's young to be like his ideal woman. But in making her his ideal woman, he actually turns her into this really horrible person who is sleeping around and just uses people. She has this sort of weird relationship with him where she loves him, but then she tries to hurt him with the things that she does. It's really not very healthy, but there's a lot of crazy stuff going on with that novel. And actually, with this story, there's a lot of similar things going on with that fellow with the scar there getting into the bed. That's kind of like his Naomi, except his name is Gilbert. Actually, that guy is supposed to be his uncle, but is actually his father, so it's like several levels of fucked up. And he only sleeps with him after he gets raped by this other guy, because now he's been dirty just like me, because the father has also been raped by his brother. I don't know, it's pretty heavy stuff. I liked it. Once you get to the end of the 1970s, though, I mean, you had a lot of really good stuff going on. A lot of really interesting stuff. You know, dynamic, diverse manga. But by the end, kind of starts getting crappy. Kind of gets horrible. Kind of starts leading into what shoujo manga will soon become. When people complain about shoujo manga as this frivolous, you know, and especially shoujo manga of the 1970s, as very frivolous and just all about this inner world, this very small, very, 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 very small inner world that is avoiding politics, is avoiding any sort of social action or thought or anything like that, but is just very concerned with the very, 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 very minute details of life. They are talking about the Otome Chic manga. And this one over here, it's actually not that bad for an Otome Chic manga because it kind of has a plot. Usually they really don't. Usually they really don't have much of anything. But this girl is, her mother is a foreigner. And she leaves when she's like a baby and goes back to her country. You don't know where her country is. And so she's brought up by her father, and eventually the grandmother convinces the father, okay, you need to get a new wife because she needs a mother. So he marries this other woman. And I'm like, oh no, evil stepmother plot coming in. No, stepmother's really nice. Happy family. Stepbrother's also super nice. Kind of has a creepy relation with her stepbrother. She kind of likes him a little bit too much. She's always going, Onii-chama! Which means big brother. But it's like a weird, childishly respectful way of saying it. She gets really obsessed with her brother. Eventually, her mother, whose stepmother, who's super, super nice, finds the picture of the dead mother. And she gets really jealous because the father doesn't really pay that much attention to her and always has this distant look in his eyes. She starts treating... She doesn't treat her, like, so badly. It's not like the usual epic melodrama level of bad. But it's just kind of like she's a little bit cold to her. And so the girl gets really sad. And then the brother is always defending her, but then eventually he finds the picture too. And then he gets a little bit cold to her and then decides that he doesn't want to be mean to her, so he just leaves and like goes to a boarding school. And so she gets really sad. So it's all about her like kind of getting really sad about things a lot. And like she has a little sister, a little sister is born. And the little sister has like a horrible disease, because in this manga, everyone has to have a little sister who has a horrible disease. It's like, I don't know. And now it's in Moe, too. They got it from, this is where Moe got it from, the shoujo manga, the little sister, the horrible disease. And so she just kind of is being sad a lot and sitting on her flower swing. There's like a flower swing in the backyard. And it's always like, the name of the manga is The Swaying of the Flower Swing. So it's just like, when I sway on the flower swing, I feel a little bit better. And there's like a boy who shows up early on, kind of like in Candy Candy, and swings with her on the flower swing when she's three, and is like, if you swing on the flower swing, the falling petals will slowly make your emotions improve. Or something. And she's like, I think of that boy. And then he keeps showing up every, like, 10 years or so. And, like, swinging with her for 2 seconds and then running away. And I think she's going to get with him. Or with her brother. I'm not really sure. But he's not really her brother. So, anyway.
Can you see the, like, ultimate achieve why are you still eating it?
Oh, no, I like it. No, I love to complain about it, but I love it. Oh, yeah. This one was really funny, because they always have these cute little... I mean, this is sort of the epitome of the Otome Chiku thing, is these little romances. And this is the stuff that's in Ribbon magazine. And this story is actually about a guy who, in this scene, he sees this girl, and you see him, you see his look of shock there. And he says, you, the more I look at you, and she sees him, and she's like, oh, I was in the paper. She sees that he's holding a newspaper, so she's like, oh, I was in the paper the other day. He must be saying that he recognizes me from the paper, so she's kind of fluffing her hair a little bit. He says, the more I look at you, the more you look like a Fujisaki apple.
What?
And then you see the apple there. And the apple kind of falls out of her hand. And at the bottom, it has written in by hand, Sayaku, which means, like, it's like the absolute worst. And she's not happy. So then she's complaining to her friend about it. And he ends up, like, stalking her a lot for a while. And then her boyfriend breaks up with her, and she's a little annoyed. And so she yells at him, and he's like, I'm sorry. And then he, like, goes home for a couple days to attend his father's wake or something. But she doesn't know it. She's like, where did he disappear to? And then he shows up again. He's like, hello. And she's like, you shouldn't have left without saying something. He's like, I'm sorry. And then like, that's the end. And it's like, this is like, all the manga are like this. It's like, I like this boy a little bit, maybe. He likes me a little bit, maybe. And some stuff happens, and then we recognize that maybe we like each other. But not really. And it's all like kind of wavering, and like things aren't clearly drawn, and there's a lot of white space, and it's kind of hard to figure out what's going on a lot of the time. So I didn't read too many of these. This one is actually very cute, but it's sort of drawn like a children's book. It's basically this girl, it's her birthday, and it's like, was Valentine's Day a day ago. And so she's sitting with her friends, and they all talk about the kind of boys they like, and the kind of boys they want to marry, and their current prospects with boys. Like, oh, and you know, they all have a little story, like one of them wrote a letter to her boyfriend on Valentine's Day and sent him some chocolates. And another one gave a box of chocolates to a boy, which is like a love confession on Valentine's Day. And she's waiting for the answer. And they're like, oh, he was showing up at the classroom! And she's like, oh my god, I wasn't there! Because I ran out to the bathroom! And was like, oh no. And another one was like, on Valentine's Day I stood outside the window of the boy I like who has a girlfriend and I ate chocolates and I felt a little bit of melancholy. And the other one, like, she confessed her love to one of her male friends, but he got really embarrassed and, like, kind of ran away. During all of this, the lights had actually gone out. There was a thunderstorm. Or no, it's snowing. There was a power outage in the town. And then they decide to go and buy some, like, cake from the store. And on their way to the store, they're still talking, and then they see, like, the guy. And she's like, hey! And he's like, I got you a present. She's like, thank you. I'm so happy. It's Panda. And then this is her walking home with a heart in the background. That's the end. It was like, it's like, well, this was cute, but I feel unsatisfied somehow.
What is happening then at the end of the 70s? Like, is this a backlash? Is this all of the talent has sort of run its course and now you have a bunch of mediocrities kind of getting in there?
Well, actually, I think what was happening is those things are actually happening concurrently. The more radical, interesting stuff is, well, it's getting like a lot of coverage from college students and from intellectuals and people like, I mean, and intellectuals were reading like a lot of the Showa 24 group manga and discussing it. But at the same time, you had girlish otome chiku manga. and people were also writing those. But it was just different magazines. But those were the ones that people were reading. And I think that, actually, if you go back to the 1950s, and you look at the major manga artists, the two major female manga artists, you have Mizuno Hideko and Watanabe Masako. And I feel like they kind of had very different styles, where Mizuno Hideko was more like with the adventures, strong women, wishing she could write manga about boys and stuff like that. And probably, I know, wishing she could be a boy, in fact. And Watanabe Masako was much more like the sort of girlish, soft, angelic stories about the inner feelings and all that. So I'm not really sure what she was doing, because I know that she had a really big seller, Watanabe Masako did, in the 70s. But I haven't read it, so I don't quite know what was going on with that. But if you look at the art styles, you can see how the Showa 24 group, they were more inspired by like Mizuno Hideko's style and by Tezuka's style and the work that they were doing. Whereas these Otome Chika manga were more inspired by, you know, this more girlish internal world stuff that had always existed, but it was like just taking it to the next level. And I think it was, in a way, a reaction to, not necessarily to the other manga that was going on, but to what was going on in society, where Japan itself was kind of pulling more away from that, the student movements and all the radical action that they had been engaging in from the 50s on. In the 70s, it was getting so radical that it was really alienating the rest of society. So girls were kind of pulling away into their own little world and saying, well, we don't really care so much about social action, and we don't really care so much about feminism. We just want to talk about boys and go shopping. And, you know, I don't know. And so people, a lot of commentators in Japan complain about that.
Why do you think color makeup is that?
It's expensive.
Yeah, it's the cost. I suspect that, I mean, because this was not the norm. Most of the magazines in this time were black and white, but a lot of people couldn't color very well. The color, I mean, it was just very expensive. So I suspect that the reason that Lirika could get away with being color was because of Sanrio. Or, I mean, I'm not really, really sure. I would have to look into it more. Color manga may be making a comeback now that manga is starting to move onto the internet. I would recommend checking out manganovel.com, which is, it's an internet site where you can download manga, and you can download translations of it in, like, any language, as long as, and fans do the translations. So check it out, because they have a lot of color manga.
You know Japanese, apparently, and you said fans do the translations. Do you plan on translating Candy Candy at any point?
No.
I just don't want to deal with her translating Candy Candy.
No, I would not. Like, at this point, I really don't have time for something like that, as much as I would love to. Go to manganovel.com, though, and harass them into, like, putting it on their site, and then I'll translate it.
I think monologue is an increase from 19th. Monologue is increased from 19th shoujo manga.
Monologue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's increased from the 19th, this kind of shoujo manga.
Monologues, the internal monologue has, even in the 50s, I mean, in Mizuno Hideko's stuff, in Gin no Hanabira, she definitely was like internally monologuing and like having like weird visions of what she was thinking about.
What do you think of the shoujo manga today? Like in this time?
Is there any good stuff?
Well, there's a bunch more of it, obviously, so it's kind of hard to work.
I don't know. It's entertaining sometimes. A lot of it is really horrible. A lot of the stuff aimed at 10-year-olds, it's like porn for 10-year-olds, is really, really horrible.
For all of the, like during the 70s, was like with the exotic locale stuff, were there any that were like centered in Japan, or was it all like Americans living abroad, French Revolution, German people?
Oh, no, there was a lot of stuff set in Japan, but a lot of it was foreign. Like the Otome Chik stuff, it's all set in Japan. Oh yeah, and there were a lot of like school dramas. Aim for the Ace was set in Japan, although she also travels because she's a tennis champion. Yeah, the really interesting stuff that I've seen nowadays is in seinen manga, like Moyoko Anno, her stuff. She did Flowers and Bees, and she did Happy Mania and Sakuran. She's actually married to the guy who made Ava.
Oh no.
But she's like the fashion queen of Japan. She writes like fashion bibles, and women are like, yes, I must read it. She knows everything about fashion. So, but it's like a little bit more mature. But I don't know. Manga needs some help right now. Oh, my baby.
Yep.
ガラスのようにもろく壊れやすい仮面。人は素顔を隠してそれをかぶる。